Yes, good morning. Hello, I'm Chuck West from Texas Tech University, and I'm going to speak to you today about a project which I've been leading in the last 2 years. That's all the time I've been there, it's 2 years, but it's been going on since from 2004. So I inherited this from my predecessor. This is promoting conservation of irrigation water in the Texas High Plains. Now, we are all very familiar with the water crisis in California. Here we are in California. But it's been getting lots of press, of course. It's very critical. But another area of the country that's been getting press about the water decline has been the High Plains Aquifer area, or the Ogallala Aquifer. And so what I'll be showing you today is a large-scale demonstration project that we've been conducting to promote a reduction in irrigation use and by still maintaining the profitability of crop production. So, and this is Texas Tech is the lead institution, but also Texas A&M is involved in this as well. In fact, so this was funded through a state initiative, and the money coming through the Texas Water Development Board. And we just last year we finished phase one, which is a 9-year project, and now we're in phase two, so that's going to go on for 5 more growing seasons. So we will end up with 14 years of data on that. So we have a tremendous database about what farmers are actually producing and the amount of water that they're using. A lot of cooperators here. I don't need to read through all of those, but I do want to mention that our local water district, the High Plains Water District, is involved in this thing, of course. The mission of the project is to identify and communicate technologies and provide planning aids for producers that it helps sustain agriculture in the South Plains of the Ogallala Aquifer region. And specific objectives are to increase water use efficiency with precise, or let's say more precise, irrigation management, which is a subject in itself because precision agriculture techniques are now coming in to the Great Plains on irrigation. Which is very interesting advances there. To enhance profitability, well, we certainly want to maintain profitability. We talk about irrigation coming out of the Ogallala. More than 90% of the extraction of the water is for agriculture. And communities, towns, depend on agriculture, irrigated agriculture, for the economies. There's a lot at stake here economically. Identify effective cropping and irrigation systems. These are ones that the producers are using that work in the field. And also there's a major communication effort via multiple modes. And to understand the behavior of the producers, how do they make their decisions? What is the motivating factors? And how can we take advantage of those in delivering our message? Well, the High Plains Aquifer or the Ogallala Aquifer extends, as you know, from southern South Dakota down to Texas. It doesn't know state boundaries. 8 states have access to it. And the part I'll be speaking about mainly is what we call the South Plains. So I think many of you are familiar with I-40. It cuts across Nebraska, and Amarillo is right about here, and so south of Amarillo. This is of interest to people throughout the aquifer because we are like the canary in the mine. We have a high evaporation ET rates there. Because of the high temperatures, the aquifer is thin in many spots here. It's a lot thicker up north. And so the practices that we're doing here and the farmer response can presage what may be happening in states to the further north of us. We concentrated mainly on in the first phase on 2 counties, Hale and Floyd County, just north of Lubbock, where we live. And then in phase two, we have added 6 more counties. So now we have 8 counties. And we have about 30 producers and around 35 fields that we are monitoring. This corresponds to an area of heavy use of the aquifer for irrigation and very intensive agriculture. Crops like cotton. Cotton is our big one. Cotton monocultures, corn, cotton rotations, sorghum, cotton cattle, and so on. We have a variety of crops here that we're looking at producers use. And in fact, this shows how the acreages have changed over the roughly 4,800 acres per year on that. And of course, and cotton is the white line, and that's been fluctuating up and down, and some of you may know that cotton prices in the last 10 years have been all over the place. and they're way down now. Corn came in quite a bit too. Corn came in bigger, and that was, of course, a big water user. Irrigation methods, the very familiar center pivot irrigation sprinklers, of course, is our main one. And furrow irrigation, we have a couple of our entries, a couple of our producers are still using furrow. We wanted to include that, even though we consider that an old-fashioned type of irrigation, you know, less efficient, so we can show what kind of progress has been made. Subsurface drip, you can't see the drip lines, they're underground, and of course dryland agriculture. At each site, we've been monitoring a lot of data, collecting a lot of course, the weather data. We also have, you know, tracking equipment on the center pivots, either a net irrigator pivot track or, you know, two brands out there. So we know how many times that pivot has gone around, how much water has been applied to different parts of the field. And so we know how much water has been applied to those fields. Soil moisture. We've been using the capacitance probes in some of the locations, and in the more recent years, Aquas 5, Fuel Connect, there are other brands out there, as well as some canopy temperature measurements. All production inputs, plant and animal yields, economic analysis have been done. So tremendous amount of data crunching happening there. Demonstration topics. What are some of the things that we actually go out and give our talks on, our field days, our field walks? Monitoring soil water content and canopy water use. Because of the new capacitance probes, then that's a very important tool for being able to actually see underground what's happening. Whereas before, irrigation was so much by guesswork, or this is how my dad did it. And so we have found, you know, through our data analysis that the low-hanging fruit on improving the efficiency of water use is to cut down on excessive water use. The over 100% of ET. So there's a lot of waste going on out there that we can now track much better. Irrigation types, the different types of nozzles and subsurface drip and so on. Differences among crops, comparing sorghum versus corn versus cotton. And grass seed is another one that people do. Another example of what we can demonstrate on an agronomic management is staggering the planting dates of crops, let's say sorghum, so that different parts of your field are coming into their peak water use at different times of the summer. So that way you can stretch that water supply better. Online tools. We've got some calculators online that the producers can use for making decisions on which crops to grow, where the water is or isn't, and also to track the evapotranspiration. The URL is very easy to remember in case you're interested, tawc.us. I didn't mention that the name of the project is Texas Alliance for Water Conservation, and that brings you to a page called Talk Solutions. I meant to say something about the aquifer, that over the past 11 years, it's been dropping at the rate of over 17 inches per year. Okay, so that's over a foot per year. That it's like a foot and a half per year. And so that is a substantial amount of water. And we are not going to be able to have a target amount of water that's been projected or planned for. They say we want to have 50% of the aquifer still available for irrigation 50 years from now. Well, it's going to happen in about a few more years. Okay, it's dropping much faster than that predicted level. Capacitance probes. This is one. This is actually one I have out in one of my research pastures, the John Deere Fuel Connect. And of course, the producer then goes to his computer screen and sees this type of a graph. This is one of our farmers involved. This is corn. And then it's very easy to follow. We have, okay, this blue line, you've got enough water, and the red line, you better irrigate. So you have this upper and lower limits. And you can track, you know, are you losing water or gaining water? This little water faucet means you irrigated, and the water drops mean that it, and this means that it rained. So it keeps track of all that. And the y-axis here is the number of inches of water in the rooting profile, the rooting depth. So this is one of the tools that the producers have found has been very, very useful in preventing the over-irrigation of their crops, and they can time it according to crop maturity. For example, when they want to dry down or, you know, cut out the cotton crop, they can reduce that a lot. And some of the data just from Eddie's farm, this is with subsurface drip, produced at 240 bushels per acre, applied 17 inches of irrigation, which usually corn takes more there. We usually are talking about 24, 26 inches. But with the subsurface drip being very efficient and the monitoring, usually we're to keep that down. 17 inches is of interest here because the High Plains Water District is imposing now an 18-inch limit. Okay, and so if we can grow corn at 17 inches, that's pretty darn good. 13 inches of rain is an average amount of rain for our area during the growing season. Okay, so that's an average. And the water use efficiency then was about 400 pounds of corn per acre inch. And we also, there's another monitor, is called the AquaSpy, and comparing two type of irrigations, the LEPA, which is low energy precision application, and LISA, which is a low, what does the E stand for? Low something,
energy.
Low energy spray application, okay? And that the LEPA is generally more efficient. We're having a slower decline in the soil water content, and so we can stretch that water supply. And we have economic data to also bolster the use of that. In fact, here it is, cotton. Okay, we had a higher yield on cotton with the LEPA compared to LISA, and the net returns per acre were three times higher on the LEPA in this case. Water supply was exactly the same, 19.5 inches, and water use efficiency was significantly higher on the LEPA. So this is an example of taking real farm data and sharing it with the other producers and the neighbors. Anybody, of course, comes to our field days and can see what their neighbors are doing, what the project participants are doing. An example of staggering the planting time of sorghum. Planting 1st of May or up to the 15th of June, and we have different peak periods of water use. Okay, so this is the crop evapotranspiration. And again, this is another simple tool for helping stretch that water supply. Our online tools are what's called the resource allocation analyzer. This is a crop selection tool and irrigation scheduler, or an ET tool. And this is one screenshot from where a producer then will do what I call a planning ahead or strategic planning. So right now, after they got their yield data for this year, what are we going to plant in which field next year? So this is decision making before the planting season. You plug in things like how much water you have available, what anticipated prices you're going to use. So a little bit of guesswork here. They're not getting 90 cents a pound on cotton anymore, but the farmer then can go in and create different scenarios, and then it does an economic analysis where you can compare, let's say, an entire pivot circle in cotton versus a cotton corn, half and half cotton and corn, and you've got a comparison of net returns, 88,000 versus 82,000. So this is a very user-friendly tool that they can use to help plan different cropping uses there.
1 minute.
Oh, already, okay. Then there's the irrigation scheduling tool, or the evapotranspiration, which allows them to track the amount of water being used by the crop. So I'll mention that we also are instigating a new technology called spectral crop coefficients, which is based on satellite remote sensing, where the satellite data then can determine how much crop cover there is, and that's a component of the ET calculation. And that extends our geographic range of use. So we had some good responses from our producers that they are now more aware of their water use. Other farmers are looking at the early adopters and doing what they do. And the crop consultants have now, we see them as a very important target audience because of all the new technology and the fact that producers are becoming so overwhelmed with all the data tools. So, and that's it.